Oh, it's down here, dumbass. Dummy.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon. You all set there, Mike?
Yeah, it's 85 degrees in your parking lot, and I didn't appreciate the heat.
I think I haven't been outside lately, but I like the warmer weather.
I know, because you're trapped in this air-conditioned box most of the day. So
this is true.
To go out into the warm weather and breathe real air. It's a real... whoa, look at this. This is good.
There's sun out there.
I know, sun and warmth. Well, anyway, we have a gardening show to do here.
Okay.
And I don't know. There might be some garden stuff in here. I'm not sure. But thank you for listening today. If you have questions, and I'm talking about whatever I'm talking about, you can interrupt me and call 673-4464. And I'll stop what I'm saying, and I'll listen carefully to your question and answer your question and give you some good advice or some ideas, you know, whatever you need. That's what this show is all about, just advice, ideas, and how to do things and make your gardening life simpler.
Easier,
better, more productive, you know, whatever. I've had a few years of this stuff, and I've made my share of mistakes, learned how to correct them, so consequently, I'm doing pretty good so far.
But hey, you've been in business long enough.
So yeah, longer than most people are alive. Anyway, 673-4464 is the number, and your calls are welcome. You know, spring, of course, if I walk through this parking lot outside this building, spring is now in full swing. And all we need now is a few days of rain just to kind of, you know, the ground is so stinking dry. I hate it. But it's a few days of rain, you know, once a week, maybe a good rainy day. And then the rest of the time it'll be 75 degrees. You know, that's a good temperature.
Supposed to maybe get some rain tomorrow night.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. But you guys that predict this stuff never are right. I mean, it rained. Oh, yeah. 14 drops came down on my roof. Okay.
Just
great.
Enough to get the windshield.
Yeah. Two swipes with the windshield wiper and it's done, baby. But, you know, the temps really have been very nicely, you know, modulated until today. It was 85 in the parking lot when I parked my pickup. And, you know, we've had some nice cloudy days where temperatures 72, 75 there and there. That's, to me, that's a good temperature. That's a good working temperature. Mm-hmm. The plants like it. The animals like it. The bees like it. Just about everybody likes it except, you know, the Death Valley group or something, but this is perfect planting time for all plants, even vegetables. You know, I was adamantly opposed. We got a phone call already?
We do.
Okay, yep. I'm ready.
Here we go. Hi, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good now.
So I was watching a video on YouTube about leveling out the soil and the grass in someone's yard.
Uh-huh.
Is that advisable? It looked very hard, looked very labor intensive with a spreader thing and a rake and a thing to make it all level again. Do I want to try to do that or not?
Well,
myself, or should I have someone do it? I mean, I guess
How big of a yard are we talking about?
It is it's not very big. It's a small little yard.
Well, you know, if you had to hire somebody to do it, it'd be, I don't know, I don't know what the conditions are, but if it's a small yard, you could attempt it yourself. It's not, really not that difficult. Now, is there grass growing in it now, or is this bare ground?
No, this is grass, but there, you know, my daughter, I've told her not to, but she takes a shovel and digs holes in my yard. Not my yard, our yard. I told her not to. I said, it makes it bad. That's why we don't have a dog. That's why we don't have all those kinds of things that cause problems. But she likes to dig little holes. And so I want to kind of make it so that it's a little more level? Do I wait till she grows up? I mean, she's 7 years old now.
Yeah, I'd wait for about 10 years before I'd attempt this. Cause no, not really. That maybe I could give her a part-time job if she likes to dig holes. I got lots of plants to plant.
Well, she digs lots. She has her monster trucks, and she has her excavator trucks, and she loves to dig holes and make mud puddles. And
well, that's cool. I think she's going to be a landscaper.
Maybe she is. I don't know.
Yeah. You know,
it's something I could try on my own or not.
Oh, yeah, you could. And how large are these holes you're talking about? I mean, they're...
They're like a child's head size hole. So, okay. You know...
You're not going to need a lot. You're not going to need a lot of topsoil, and it shouldn't really take you too long. What you want to do first, though, is mow the lawn very short and get it down, you know, fairly short. And then the holes are more visible, and you can spread your soil over it, and just spread the soil over the whole lawn and just kind of smooth it out with a rake if you want to.
Now, the YouTube video I was watching recommended using sand as opposed to soil.
Yeah, that's good. I approve of that. I do that to my place. I mean, just to get it even, just to get it smooth again, because I got a dog that likes to dig holes, you see.
that's why I don't have a dog at home, because I know what happens to Well, I appreciate the information. So it's not something that's too hard to do. It's something that's doable for the average Joe.
And sand is easier to move around than topsoil, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, good. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Had another call coming in there.
Where?
Call back.
Is he on?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, I've experienced that same thing, but like I said, my dog dug the holes. And they were, you know, they might be, you know, 4 inches deep and 4 inches in diameter, and you're mowing, and all of a sudden, clunk, one of the mower wheels, you know, goes in and just... But it's a riding mower, so it's just a quick clunk.
Oh, okay.
I meant to do last fall. I meant to get a load of sand, like what he was talking, and just, you know, I got equipment so I can spread it with the equipment, and just drag it all over the whole lawn when the ground is kind of semi-damp, mm-hmm. and fill those holes and then reseed it, and it's good to go. And hopefully the dog will, I'll cut his fingernails off.
Give him a good clipping.
Yeah, give him really short fingernails or toenails or whatever they're called. Oh, golly.
Ready for another one?
Sure, I am.
All right. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, I see you had a for sale sign on your place.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, are you retiring?
Well, I would love to, but it seems like a long journey.
Well, I hope you stick around a while. Anyway, I have a flowering cherry that I've had established for, 10, 15 years, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty big, blossomed every spring, yada-da-ya. This spring, I'm looking at it, and I'm going, as one side is leafing out and the other side is, all the branches are completely dead.
Huh.
What happened?
Well, it sounds like you have some kind of a boring insect that has, if you look on the side of the tree where the dead branches are and examine the trunk and see if you can see little holes in the trunk and look all the way down to ground level, because oftentimes they enter at ground level and kind of go up the tree. And what they're doing is they're feasting on the nutrition that's inside the tree and inside the bark there. And I don't know that, since I can't see it, I don't know if you could save it. The one thing to do is definitely cut the dead ones off and try.
Well, I did, and that's what I was doing. Yeah. I was waiting to see if it was worth, because since it was a beautiful all the way around flowering, weeping looking thing, and now it's only weeping on one side, and I'm going, well, I don't know if I want that.
You don't like a one-sided weeper?
No.
Okay. Well, you could, when people, if you did it and it was a one-sided weeper and somebody, you know, remarked and said, "What's wrong with the tree?" And you say, "Nothing. It's exotic."
Okay. Well, I have one more question too.
Sure.
Is some of my azaleas, and I've had them for, I know they live 50 years and they're only about halfway through, so about 20 years old.
Uh-huh.
But I noticed a few of them are starting to get brown limbs, you know, little branches, and I've been cutting that off, and it's like, I heard where maybe there's a fungus or some kind of root rot that they sometimes get. Is there something I can treat them with?
Oh, yeah. there's root weevil. There's so many fungi here in Douglas County. We've got the perfect climate for all of it. And, yeah, there are sprays and there are systemics that you can put in the ground. And a systemic is something that goes into the root system. The roots suck it up into the stems, and that repels any boring or eating insects from the plant.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I look for something that says for root rot or for
and it'll say systemic, S-Y-S-T-E-M-I-C, systemic. And
oh, very good. Yeah.
But you can get it at the co-op, and they probably have two or three varieties, and just kind of read the label and see what it says. And and once that kind of thing has started, you want to make sure that you maybe treat it a little bit every year once it gets under control.
Is there a good time?
Usually in the fall when the rains start, because that way it gets down into the system, the root system, over the course of the winter, so that in the spring it's fully energized, if you will, and if any bugs come along, it repels it.
Good. Okay, and if you do sell, can I have your fish?
My fish? You want my big fish?
I've asked you every time.
It's something I'd have to think about. I don't know what I would want to sell them or not. I don't know what I... Maybe I have a barbecue. I'm not sure.
No, they're bony. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's a good time for a break, huh?
Yeah.
All righty. Lines are open here, and we'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
I like it when we get calls, you know? It just keeps me perky. More
vibrant.
Vibrant, yes. My mind actually works.
We'll be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we are back here as promised with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN. And Mike, that was my older daughter that just came in. I always forget to introduce people until after they leave. So there we go.
Well, I'm going to hold you to it. Well, I've had two good calls so far on the show, and I appreciate calls, and I like to talk to people, so don't be shy. If you got a question, give me a shout, 673-4464. At any rate, I began talking about, we're in full swing spring, or full spring swing, whatever you want to say. I mean, things are blooming everywhere. Roseburg, Douglas County's got to be the most colorful place in the state at this point in time. It seems like it's just a perfect geography, perfect soil, perfect weather and all that. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, not too wet. It's kind of in between.
Yeah.
I wish we had a little bit more rain, but other than that, the plants are responding well. But with this, if it, continues to inch up a degree or two, then the blooms begin to fade a bit. But like I said, the weather's been great for blooming. And there's roses. Well, we got on the call?
We have a call.
All right.
Here we go. You're on with the air with Mike Winters.
Hi. I think I killed my lemon tree, Lester.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
You don't like them?
Oh, I love them. And it was because of your show that I went out and bought one.
Uh-huh.
And it was thriving really good outside in a pot, a big pot. Brought it in. It had lots of lemons, and then it looked bad, and I cut it way back.
Uh-huh.
And now nothing.
Where is it now?
I put it back outside last week.
Good.
It's still in the pot.
Okay. How have you been taking care of it? I mean, have you been keeping it damp or fertilizing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been watering it. And actually, there was a lot of water in the bottom when I took it back outside.
Well, I'll tell you
what. I've been watering it, and I fertilized it once.
Okay, don't give it so much water. They like it a little bit on the dry side.
Okay.
And, if there's any more excess water in your tray or whatever you got underneath the saucer. Dump that out, get rid of it, and let it sit in the sun and dry out. What I've noticed about the lemons when I grow them is when I prune them, the new buds take a while to form. Now, one thing you can do is take your fingernail and scratch the bark and penetrate the outer bark and see if it's green underneath. Just a little piece.
Okay.
And if it's green underneath, it's good to go. If you scratch it and it's just brown and brittle, pretty much it's on the way out. but try it in several places. Try it at the base of the plant, midway in the plant, and towards the top of the plant. And if it's green all the way through, you're okay. Just leave it alone.
Oh, I hope so. Okay.
Just leave it alone. It'll be fine.
Okay. And at this point, I wouldn't need to feed it or anything.
No. Don't feed it or anything. But just keep the soil barely damp. That's really important. Not bone dry and not super wet. Just damp.
And that's probably the problem, according to my husband.
We
carried it out.
Yeah, they don't like a lot of water. Where they grow naturally. It's pretty arid country. It's pretty hot. It's pretty warm. Very sunny, and not a lot of water.
Okay, great. Well, I wanted to ask you before I dumped it out, and I'll give it another try.
Give it another shot. I mean, give it another month or so, and see what happens.
Okay.
And if you have success, if you have success, and it comes back, call me. All right.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty, that opens up the telephone lines.
Yeah, and I've had the same problem with lemon trees and orange trees and, you know, citrus stuff that's not natural, native to this area.
Yeah.
And even in the greenhouse where we keep the stuff over the winter, you know, the fragile stuff, if you will, you can easily, you know, you're not watering very much, but even in the winter when it's cold, you get a little bit too much water in there, and the leaves kind of get crinkly and fall off, and then when I notice it, I kind of set them to the side so nobody can water them. And usually within a month or two at the most, they regenerate
start
and come back.
Some
of them are outright dead, not very many, but the best thing you can do is ignore them and let them do their thing. As my botany professor in college used to say, plants don't grow because of us, they grow in spite of us.
Yep.
And, you know, I found that to be true.
Yeah, more truth than rumor.
Absolutely. So anyway, as I was saying earlier, hey, this is a perfect planting time for all your new plants, your vegetables. You know, I think we're pretty much over the killer frost time. You never know if there's an Arctic front coming down or something like that. But
China.
Or China freeze, whatever. But it's a good time because the soil is warm enough. There's still moisture in the soil, mm-hmm. so you can easily work up your soil. In fact, I'm probably within the next week I'll be planting my garden. I'm a little higher elevation, and it's a little bit cooler because I don't get as much sunlight in there. But still, I've been watching things bloom that have been in the ground for a while all around the house, different shrubs and things like that. And they're really, really picking up steam and blooming and doing well. So mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that it's not going to drop down to 28.
Right.
Hopefully it won't. But like I say, in the next week I plan on getting my vegetable garden in and planting some other things. And so I think it's pretty safe. And, you know, and I harp on this, I know in February when all the box stores get all their tomatoes and their peppers in and they put them outside.
Yeah.
And for 14 days in a row it's 26 degrees or 28 degrees. And I'm thinking, why in the world do you do that?
This is a waste of money.
Yeah, they wasted it. And you know, the customer that comes in who's not a super gardener, but you know, just kind of beginning and learning. And they come in and see all this stuff, and they, oh yeah, good time to buy the vegetables. They take them home, put them outside, and bingo, they're dead. Yeah, so you gotta. It's okay. You can wait. I've planted gardens as late as middle June and had great success and great crops. So don't push it. They're okay. Now, blooming time here in Douglas County, as I was saying, you've got, annuals, you've got perennials, azaleas, rhodies, lilacs. The lilacs are outrageous all over the place.
Yeah, I've seen them all over.
Yeah. And I've got this big lilac at my house that I stole. Well, my father-in-law gave it to me from his yard, but it was just a little.
Sure he did.
A little, he did. He was generous with his plants, for crying out loud. But it was about, 8 inches tall. He dug up a side shoot and said, here, take this home, see if it'll grow. Well, now that plant's probably, at least 10 feet tall.
Jeez.
And probably 7 feet wide. And
wow.
And it's got, a million blooms, I swear. Mm-hmm. And there's all these bees, and it's right beside the pathway where we walk into the into the porch.
Yep.
And you walk by there, and it sounds like a beehive. and you look around. And the funny thing is, they're not honeybees. They're not bumblebees. They're kind of an in-between look. And they're not aggressive, because I'm standing right there.
Yeah.
And they're busy, pollinating and doing whatever. And they're just, it's a boom, it's really loud. So, but I'm glad to see them, because I haven't seen any honeybees out at my place this spring.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it isn't. And I don't know why. maybe they left. Maybe they went south, say, hey, man, it's too cold up here. Let's get out of this joint.
What color is your lilac?
Kind of a light blue.
Blue?
Yeah. Not blue, but, maybe.
In between.
Orchid bluish kind of thing. Real pretty. And then we've got some white ones across the creek that we planted, and some deep purple, too. So one of these days we'll be overcome with lilacs, but they're a tough plant.
They're
easy. If you can't grow a lilac, go move to a condo.
It's kind of like blackberries.
Yeah, if you can't, raise a blackberry, you're in deep trouble. But anyway, if you've been waiting for the right time to plant, go ahead. Now is the time to plant. Get it done, and we'll do good. So this week, Mother's Day is Sunday.
Right.
All right. But we don't call it just Mother's Day. We call it Mother's Day week, because the orders start coming in on Monday or Sunday night previous. Mm-hmm. And so we've been running all over the place delivering flowers, and the orders are coming in fast and furious from all over the country. For somebody that lives in Tucson says, oh yeah, my mom lives out in Camas Valley, I want you to deliver blah 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 blah.
Never thought of that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that internet thingy,
Yeah.
And they come out over the fax, and they'll all, and there's another order for somewhere.
Wow.
I delivered to Camas today. And I went, and there was one address in 10 Mile, and I couldn't find the thing.
Oh.
And you know what really irks me is to see a mailbox with no numbers
on it.
And I'm thinking, what if you had a fire? What if you had how would the fireman or the cop or whatever find your place when you got in this old mailbox? And some of them had like four numbers, 2930 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of them only had two numbers or one number,
oh, yeah.
And the rest of them were faded out or scraped off. And I'm like,
well, everybody knows where I live.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know where Bob lives. Well, I didn't know where Bob lived.
That's right.
But Mother's Day is Sunday, and it's amazing how many flowers that we have in stock that we had to buy, up front to make sure that we can fulfill all the orders for this week.
Wow.
And I got three florists making up bouquets,
right.
and all that. And then there's, right now we've got three people delivering, plus I did a part-time today, but Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are the big days, and I've got a couple other people who have come forth and said, yeah, we'll help you. We'll deliver flowers for you. Okay, good. We need it, man. We need it.
There's my part-time job.
There you go. Come on down. As long as you can read the mailboxes with no numbers, you'll find out. At least in Roseburg or Winston, in the town, they got numbers on the houses. But sometimes there's no number on the house.
Right.
And you go, where in the world is that number? And you see the one over here on its left and the one over here on its right. Well, it's got to be that one in the middle.
Yep.
Oh, it's frustrating.
Yes, it is.
It is very frustrating.
I used to deliver pizzas. And
okay, there you go.
I know what you're talking about.
And I see these FedEx guys all over the, delivering everything. They must have a special machine that tells them exactly what
GPS.
Yeah, that's the one, Bob. Okay, drop the package off there. Oh gosh, but if you want a perfect plant for your mom or your wife, you know, we got them. So, and if you don't, if you don't get a plant, well, too bad. But as dry as it's been, and it has been dry, start to check your landscape for soil moisture. And this is important, and it's, and it kind of goes along with what the lady called about the lemon tree. You know, at random, dig down in, like next to a young tree or a shrub to see if the soil is wet, see if it's damp or it's dry. You know, damp is just, you know, you can feel the moisture, but it's not, not soggy and soaked.
Yeah.
Wet, real wet for most plants is bad. It's death. It rots the roots. Damp is good. And dry this time of year, hey, you're going to have to water it for whatever reason. We haven't had sufficient rain. And what I do is I dig down beside it, the plant, beside the trunk. If it's a shrub or a tree, it doesn't matter. Dig down to, I'll say, at least 4 inches, maybe 6 inches on a big shrub or something like that. And actually test the soil. Feel the soil. Is it soggy? Can you squeeze water out of it? And then, hey, you don't have to do anything to it. And if you are watering, quit. But if it's damp and you know, it's obvious, it's good to go. You don't have to do anything. But you keep your eye on it because that dampness, if we continue to have this kind of weather, you know, within a week, then you're looking at dry. So, but if it is dry now, go ahead and give it a good soak. It's okay. It needs a little bit of help here to continue into the to the spring, and into the summer. But like I say, if it's damp, it's okay. If it's wet, no need. And for at least a week. And if it's dry, give it a deep soak. And lawns, of course, also need to be checked for soil moisture. A lawn in full sun probably needs water, and a lawn in a shady area is most likely to have sufficient moisture at this point. About 2 weeks ago on all of our landscape maintenance clients, banks and things like that, we started turning, maybe 2 weeks ago, we started turning on the sprinkler systems, and, you know, you got to work the bugs out of it, and then there's, by and large, somebody broke a pipe that you didn't know about that ran over or something, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So we've got, I think we've got all the repairs done. The Marion Carl Memorial down there, you know, by the airport.
Yeah,
we take care of that, too. And we turned on the controller, and in one spot the water was squirting straight up in the air. Somebody had run over or broken one of the main valves.
Old Faithful,
yeah. So, you know, come on. Why would you do that? Anyway, since it's a city property and we're only maintaining that property, we don't repair anything. So I went to the Roseburg Parks Department and told them the story, and within 2 days, I mean, they had her fixed, and so we've got to turn it on and get it all calculated and doing its thing. But check your lawns the same way you check the shrubs and the trees that I was telling you about. And if it's if you need a deep soak, give it a deep soak. But you don't have to do it every day. Please, don't do it every day.
Don't do it.
Right. You got your hand on the trigger. What's that mean?
Yeah, we probably should take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break.
Here we go. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN. What's our phone number?
673-4464.
There you go.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Boy, that time sneaks up on us.
Yeah, the clock keeps going and going and going, man.
It waits for no one, as they say.
Nobody. Okay. Anyway, I was talking about lawns or starting to talk about lawns, and I just got done with the segment on watering your shrubs and trees and how to check for whether it needs water or not. Don't go just because your neighbor's got his sprinkler on doesn't mean you have to turn your sprinkler on. And especially in a year like this has been shaping up to be, it's a dry year. It was a drier winter, and the predictions, of course, are dry through whenever. So one thing, if you don't water your lawn and it's damp, and as the water level drops lower, the grass roots in the lawn will follow that water to a certain extent to stay alive. They want to live, and they know they got to grow down to keep the moisture in. And the trick or the flip-flop of that is that when you have like a sprinkler system or something like that and you're watering all the time and they always got water, the root system doesn't develop. It stays relatively close to the surface because it doesn't have to work for water.
Yeah.
You see. And so consequently, if you've done that and you're watering, say, every other day, your lawn, et cetera, and it doesn't develop a deep root system and your water system goes out for whatever reason and you get super hot weather, the lawns start to look poor very quickly simply because they have not that established root system that's down deep where the moisture might be.
They've gotten lazy.
Right, exactly. And, yeah, exactly. Trees, shrubs, all of it will do that. If they don't have to dig deep for nutrition or water, they're very close to the surface. And you won't find that in the natural areas, you know, up on a slope with oak trees and Douglas fir and pine and stuff like that. Those roots are deep, you know, because they have to establish themselves. And if they want to live, they got to get that root system down in there.
They got to work.
Whereas you go in somebody's yard and the client will say, well, I don't know, I got these tree roots all over my lawn, and it's hard to mow and stuff like that. And there's this beautiful tree, and the roots are half out of the ground. Mm-hmm. They're on the surface running, 10, 15 feet in every direction.
Yeah.
And the first question I ask, well, how often do you water? Oh, every day or every other day or something like that during the summer. And then I explain what I just said, and this is why this happens, and this is why that happens. You can't cut those roots out. The only thing you could probably do if you didn't want to ruin your mower is put some soil over, maybe an inch or two of soil over them and reseed that area or take the tree out. I mean, you cut the roots, you're going to kill the tree.
Right,
so
right.
One way or another, that's the only way to correct it. There's no easy fix here.
And it could pose a danger when a windstorm.
Exactly, yeah. Because the root system is shallow.
Yeah.
And if it's a tree that's, say, 30 feet tall, and you get one of them good monsoon winds, and bang, wow, what just went through the bedroom roof, honey? I don't know. It looks like a tree to me.
Didn't that happen to you or somebody?
Oh, yeah. Well, during Snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon.
But there was a lot of ice, heavy snow, and it was on a slope up above, so...
It had a lot of help.
Yes, it had a lot of help because it was a healthy tree. It had a lot of branches, and all that snow and ice was on it, and ba-boom, hit the roof. Woke us up very quickly.
I'll bet it did. Better than an alarm.
I know, yeah. I mean, you just come right out of the bed. You know, whole body just goes straight up.
God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did we get hit by a bomb? Yeah. It sounded like a bomb. Yeah.
Another Roseburg blast.
Yeah. I thought I'm 15 miles from Roseburg. Why does that happen? But, getting back to the lawns, don't go full tilt right now. Just maybe once a week is sufficient to keep it green, keep it alive, that kind of thing. And then on the trees and the shrubs, maybe once every 10 days a soak. And that would be good. So if you got an automatic system, just make sure your clock comes on when you want it to.
Yeah.
And when it does come on, don't leave it on for 5 minutes and think that's good, because it ain't. If you're going to put it on and get a soak, you want to leave it on for at least 15 or 20 minutes so it can actually soak down into it. And then if you deprive it for 10 days, the moisture doesn't bubble up to the surface.
And it evaporates.
It evaporated. It's continued. It stays in within the root zone, and the tree or the shrub or whatever that you're watering is fine.
And I try to educate my clients that way. We finished a job this morning out in Winston that we had to redo the entire sprinkler system. And we put a sod lawn in there, and then we set up the clock so that it is it comes on when it's supposed to. And I as I told my client, I said, well, we'll keep an eye on it this week. You know, we do drive-bys and make sure everything's doing good, and we can tell just by driving by, you know, hey, it looks good, or if we see something odd, we'll stop and check it out. But and we test the soil moisture, we test it to see what's happening, make sure the sprinkler is working or not overworking, like instead of 10 minutes, it's on for 25 minutes or something like that. You just want to regulate it so that the grass or the shrubs or the trees don't get lazy and thereby have shallow root systems. So when the heat of the summer, when it really, you know, it's 90 degrees day after day after day after day, one thing is don't water in the middle of the day. Number two, make sure it's either early morning, you know, before the sun comes up, or after the sun goes down, or it's on the verge of going down. And when you do water, water maybe twice a week, but once a week, a deep soaking for, say, a half an hour or 40 minutes is more than sufficient to keep that alive and going. And it's more healthy for your lawn, and it's more it's healthier all the way around. And one of the other secrets, and I've said this before, if you want to maintain that green lawn, you have to do fertilization every couple of months and make sure that it has sufficient food so the lawn stays green. And the other thing in the summer is I see it time after time that so many people, when they mow their lawn, they cut it way too short. They scalp it, and then it's brown, and then it's tan, and it finally starts getting green and recuperating, and it starts to grow a little bit, and they go back and they scalp it again. That's the bad way. It's better to leave your lawn a little shaggy. It stays greener, it stays healthier, and it can beat the weeds, okay? So don't think you're doing it a favor. Lawn grasses are not like golf course grasses. They're, you know, bent grasses on golf courses are those that are on the putting greens. Those are the small, tight, knit grasses, and they're designed to be that way. But when you look on the fairways where you're supposed to hit the long ball straight, which I don't do very often, they leave that a little bit longer. Oh. It's not a scalp job. It's a little bit longer. Yeah. So if you do that, you're going to have a greener lawn. You're going to use less water, less fertilizer, and the lawn's going to be healthier all the way around. So that's a quick lesson. But again, you start by feeling the soil in several places, you know, a little trowel or something, and dig down there. You're not going to kill the lawn. Dig down there. If it's moist, leave it alone. Don't mess with it. Dry, soak it. That's it. So if your plants, if your plantings have, you know, 3 or 4 inches of mulch around them, and the mulch looks dry, there's a lot of people get fooled by this, and the mulch on top looks dry. Well, yeah, it's exposed to the sun and the air. Don't be fooled by that, because the mulch holds the moisture in right below that mulch surface, like an inch and a half down. You'll see the moisture occur. Right. And then if you got 4 inches of mulch, by the time you get down to the bare ground, the real soil, it's sufficiently damp. It's sufficiently wet. So just because your mulch is brown or dry appearing, it doesn't mean that the plants need any water. That's another way of, you know, people are fooled by that simply because they don't understand the concept of what the mulch actually does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mulch is good, and it not only holds the moisture in, it also slows the weed population from taking over. It doesn't keep it out, but it slows it down. And if it's slowing down, you can handle it if you go out there once a week and give it a shot of Roundup or something like that. And also the mulch makes the yard look clean and fresh and you know, just really squared away. And then eventually the mulch breaks down and disintegrates, if you will, and adds nutrition to the soil. It adds nutrition. So in the long run, the plants are eating well. I mean, it's a natural food, if you will. You can still fertilize, and that helps too. But that's the benefits of the mulch. You have to still fertilize maybe twice a year, but maybe not as much. And remember too, in a dry year, mulch keeps the soil cool and damp. That's like your safety shield, if you will, especially in a drought year, especially in a dry year. You're not going to be watering as much because we might have water restrictions. Who knows what the heck they're going to,
you never know
what the government's going to foist upon us. And they'll say, well, you can't water your lawn and make sure you take your mask off when you're out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, how about a break?
Okay, we'll take a break. I got only about 4 or 5 pages of notes left.
All right, we'll get right to it.
I love them phone calls.
We'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back on a good-looking Wednesday afternoon here in the Valley.
Well, what's your temperature gauge say, do you know?
85.
85? Well, okay, that's what it was when I pulled in, so... Anyway, I'm trying to explain and give you hints about... Mm-hmm. Watering, and so that your water bill doesn't go sky high. And if everybody that had yards that needed water, needed irrigation, etc., would follow some of these simple, guidelines, you could still keep your yards alive and looking fairly decent throughout a droughty summer, when it was hot and dry.
Yeah.
And that way we wouldn't ever run out of water. We would we would just all be cognizant of the fact that, hey, we don't have to use so much. And then I don't have to wash my truck for half an hour with the hose running. Or wash down my driveway or something like that.
That bothers me, seeing the running.
Yeah, I know. It drives me up the wall. I go, but that's okay. Now, even, in potted outdoor plants, moisture checks should be done, prior to watering. You've got a potted camellia in a big old pot out on the patio or the deck, and, sometimes you just grab the hose, you don't think about it, and because you're watering some other things that you just planted, we'll give those potted plants a shot too. Mm-hmm. Well, before you start giving them a shot, and my wife has some potted plants along one side of an outside wall, and I was looking at them last week, and I thought, I wonder if they need water. But the first thing I did was I stuck my finger in there and felt it, no, they didn't. It was dry on top.
Right.
But inch and a half, 2 inches down, I could feel the moisture. So I ignored it. And I ignored it for another 4 or 5 days before, and then I watered it because the soil moisture was, further down. And and she's got some azaleas, and she plants geraniums and other things in there. And in the heat of the summer, they probably get watered every other day, but they're in the late afternoon. They're shaded, so they don't need a whole lot. But still, you check and you make sure. Why waste the water? See, I'm on spring water. I can't afford to waste
it. You don't have that luxury.
No, I don't. I don't just turn on the tap and the water company sends me a bill. if something goes haywire, I got to go fix it. I got to go up the mountain and fix it. But, we've only been there, 40 some odd years. So I know what the water does. I know how much is flowing in. I got a big pond up there, and I capture water from 5 different springs. Now, each spring is not like an artesian well, but it's still functioning. And so consequently, I have a couple million gallons of water that will last me throughout the summer until the rainy season starts. But I do have a garden, and I do have plants, and I do have my bonsai, one of my bonsai collections out there. But they don't take a lot of water. They they take probably every day a quick squirt, which lasts, you know, I got about 30 bone size. So it takes about 6-7 minutes to give them all a shot of water, and then hey, I turn it off. They're good to go. The stuff that's in the ground, yeah, they might get watered once a week, maybe, you know, or every 10 yeah. days. And that big lilac I was talking about, yeah. it yeah. never gets watered. Never, you know. So it's interesting. Yeah, and like I have always said, hey, overwatering will kill them quicker than drought. So don't waste your time. Don't waste your water.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. And like I say, with the outdoor potted plants that you got on the deck or along the sidewalk or something like that, check them. Check them. And just remember this, different size plants have different capabilities of holding moisture. And not all plants require the same type of watering technique or longevity, if you will. Mm-hmm. They're like people. They're all different. So if you've got a fir tree over here in a pot and an azalea in the other pot, they don't get equal watering. Because what you're going to do is you're going to probably drown the fir tree, and it'll be just right for the azalea or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but you got to learn when you're planting and having plants in your yard and landscaping, you've got to learn what those requirements are and what they need to survive, what they need to be healthy. And it's in my roundabout way, that's my message out there to the listeners. I want you to have good success, but you don't have to overdo it. You don't have to overspend, overwater, overfertilize. You can do this, this, and this in these quantities, and you'll still have good success, and they'll still bloom, and they'll still grow, and they'll still be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's as simple as it gets. So, like, the amounts of water. I was going to go in. Do we have time or not?
We got 20 seconds.
20 seconds? Well, I'm going to save this for another time.
All righty.
Maybe next week I'll finish it up.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. I'll even write here, finish next week. I hope somebody learned something. Thank you for the calls. I appreciate calls. And see you next week.
Catch you next time. Well, it's been nice hanging out with you, Mike.
Yeah, it's in this little square room, you know, we entertain each other with our corny jokes at halftime.
Yeah. Where are you located?
I'm sitting right here in a chair.
Nice.
8580 Highway 99 south of Winston, about a half a mile south of the Winston Bridge. Big green roofs, long line of cars, people running out with beautiful bouquets. Can't miss it.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.